The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות.
דף ממה, תראה, דף is being studied לעילוי נשמת מרת זקנתי יפה בצרה, או לעילוי נשמת מור זקני יוסף בן צרה, ורבי אברהם בן אסתר, רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תראה, דף is being studied לרפואה שלמה, משה בן דינה, שרה רוחמה בת רחל ושרה בת רחל, אין הרפן עליהם, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף ורפואתם, כרבה לבא וכן ינוסו ונאמר אמן. מבגין תראה, דף, על ממה עמוד ראשון, starting on the second line. Just to review, we had a very important machloket in our Mishnah between the shittot of Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda, which is actually a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. How many judges were involved in the mitzvah of Igla Arufa? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was five. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it was three. And they would donesh from the words Zekenecha and Shofetecha. So these are plural words, so that's where they were donesh from. So Gemara says, Ela me'ata, according to this reasoning, V'yatzi'u Shenayim U'madedu Shenayim, which means, in the Perasha itself of the Igla Arufa, the Pasuk says that the judges will go out. So therefore you should be Doresh also, V'yatzi'u, another two, U'madidu, and they will measure. Well, that's another two as well, that's Shenayim. So therefore you have four additional. So therefore the Rabbi Yehuda, Harekan Tish'ah. So when you add those four, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can add up with nine, five plus four. The Rabbi Shimon, Harekan Tish'ah, according to Rabbi Shimon, you'll have seven, so you have three plus these four. No, those words already we need for a different derasha that we learned in the Braita. V'yatzi'u hen ve'lo shiluchehin, which means the judges that are going to go out to do the measuring between the two cities, they must go out themselves and not send out their messenger. U'madidu, and they are going to measure she'afilu nimsa ba'alil la'ir hayu modidim, which is even though it was clear and evident that it was closer to one of the two cities, doesn't matter. Even though they could just visually look at it, it's clear. Still, they must go out and measure. Why? Shemitzvah la'asok b'medida. Because it is a mitzvah to involve oneself in the actual measuring itself. So those words are used, so that we do not include those words to add more judges. Comes the Gemara and says, "Matnitin de'lo k'Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov," which is our Mishnah that said that the Sanhedrin themselves, the rabbis of the Sanhedrin, they do the judging, and it doesn't. You don't need a melech for this. You don't need a kohen gadol either. This must not be like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Why did Tanya Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer zekenecha zu Sanhedrin? Fine. When it says zekenecha, it's referring to the rabbis of the Sanhedrin. Shofetecha, but when it says shofetecha in the pasuk, ze melech v'kohen gadol. Which means that's referring that the king was also involved in the process and the procedure as well as the Kohen Gadol. Now how does the word Shofetecha refer to a Melech or Kohen Gadol? Melech, Dichtiv Melech B'Mishpat Ya'amid Ya'amid Ares. So the Torah or the Pasuk refers to a king. It says Melech B'Mishpat, right? The king is involved in justice. So therefore Shofetecha is referring to a king. Kohen Gadol Dichtiv Ubata Ela Kohanim Alvim Vela Shofet Asher Yeh. So therefore it says that you will come to the Kohanim Alvim and the Shofet Asher Yeh. Now who is the Shofet over the Kohanim? The Shofet over the Kohanim is indeed the Kohen Gadol. So therefore you see that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, besides the Sanhedrin that we learn from Zekenecha, you also needed the Melech and the Kohen Gadol involved in the process. So comes the Gemara and says, Ibaidu, we have a question. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Bemelech v'Kohen Gadol, who the Paligam? The argument is the Gabed, the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. That what? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, you need them involved in the procedure. Whereas the Bishamon Nabi Yehuda say, no. But when it comes to the Sanhedrin, how many rabbis does he hold? How many Sanhedrin do you need? Could be he'll agree to either to be Yehuda that you need five, or to be Shimon that you need three. Oh, Svir Ale. Or maybe he argues and says that you need the entire Sanhedrin. Because when it says Zekenecha, maybe it means the entire Sanhedrin. Amar of Yosef, so Rav Yosef was doing it. From the story of a Zaken Mamre. Now, Zaken Mamre is a hakam that gets a psak from the Sanhedrin, and he argues on the psak and does opposite what they tell him. So it says, Mitza'an Zaken Mamre Abefagi, which means, let's say the Zaken Mamre, this rebellious scholar, let's say he found the Sanhedrin Abefagi, that is a place within the walls of Jerusalem, but it is not actually the Harabait. It's not where the Sanhedrin usually sit. V'himra alehen, and he rebelled against them over there. I mean, he saw them outside of their offices, and he asked them a question, and he did not follow their ruling. He followed his own ruling. So it says, Yaakov te'am ra'atu amra'a, is his rebellion a rebellion, which means to make him a zaken mamre, and therefore bind him to the laws, and he has to bring korbanot, and he's hayav mita. I'm sorry, he's hayav mita. In such a case, if he's a zaken mamre, Talmud omar vechamta ve'alita el hamakom melamed shamakom gorim, which means the only time that he gets considered to be a zaken mamre, it has to be in the makom, which is the harabayit, which means it has to be in the azarat, that's next to the that's in the Shkata Gazit. I'm sorry, that's the offices of the Sanhedrin. Now, the Gemara says, Denafuk Kama. Now, it says you found the Sanhedrin outside the offices. Well, how many Sanhedrin do you find? How many rabbis did you find? Ilima Denafuk Mechsatan. If, let's say, you only found some of them. Let's say you found 10 rabbis outside the Sanhedrin's office. Dilma Hanach Diika Gavai Kibates Vira Lihu. Which means, just because he rebelled against, let's say, 10, maybe the other 61 that are back will agree with him. So if you came against a Ken Mamre, if you only rebelled against the minority of the Betin, Elabshita Dinafuk Kullihu. Oh, so must be it's talking about where all the Sanhedrin were out of their offices in this place called Befageh. Udamaina, what were they doing out of their offices? Ilid Vararishut, if let's say they were just going out voluntarily, Mi Matsun Nafke, are they allowed to all go out? Vakitiv, the Pasuk says, Shurerech Agan Hasahar, Al Yahsar Hamazig. Now, this Pasuk of is referring to the Sanhedrin. Now, the way that she explains to us this pasuk, we're reading in the first column of Rashi. First word on the last, like in the middle of the first column, Shorerech, Zeh Sanhedrin, Sheyoshevet B'tiburah Shel Eretz Yisrael. They sit in the middle, the center of Eretz Yisrael. Agan HaSahar She'asuin Kehatzi Lebanah. They sit in a formation like a half a moon. Agula B'shulat Yishivatan Kedesh Yukulan Ruin Zeh. So everybody's able to see each other. HaMazik, that is the pasuk that we need. Mazik is from the Lashon Mezigah. It's like when a person, let's say, makes Mezigah on the wine to dilute it. So you put 2/3 water, 1/3 wine. So the pasuk says regarding the Sanhedrin, Al Yahsad Hamazig. That means all the Sanhedrin are not allowed to leave. 2/3 may be allowed to leave, but you always have to leave at least 1/3 back at the Sanhedrin, which means you always have to have at least 23 rabbis, which is, let's say, 1/3 of the Sanhedrin back at the Lishkat Gazit. She'im Nitzah, we read the Gemara. She'im Nitzah Ehad Mehem, that's it. If let's say one of them wants to leave the Harabayit, the Lishkat Gazit, he has to check before he leaves him. Yes, Sham Oisim. If let's say there's 23 rabbis that are staying behind, which is a small Sanhedrin, which is a third of a large Sanhedrin, because the large Sanhedrin, let's say, is 71, so let's say a third of that is about 23, Yotze, then he can go out. Ve'im lav, enu Yotze, but if not, he cannot go out, which means it is impossible that all the Sanhedrin were out voluntarily. You always have to leave somebody back. So therefore, Ela Pshita Ledvar Mitzvah, Ela must be the whole entire Sanhedrin went out for a Sorech of a Mitzvah. Now, for a Mitzvah, they can all go out. Lemaina, which Mitzvah would need all the Sanhedrin to leave their offices? Lav Lemedidat Egla. Must be it's to measure the situation of Egla Arufa, where they found the corpse between two cities. Vidabili Aizab bin Yaakov. Now we have proof that this Shita is Abili Aizab bin Yaakov, that says when it says Zekenecha, it means all the Sanhedrin are needed for this procedure. So that's Rabbi Yosef's Ra'ayah. Amar le Abaye, Abaye tells Rabbi Yosef, lo, dilma lehosif ala ayid. Now maybe all the rabbis went out for a different mitzvah, let's say to add or to make an extension to the city of Jerusalem, ala azarot, or let's say to expand the courtyards of the Beit HaMikdash, kidetnan, en mosifin ala ayid, which means you cannot sanctify an annex of the city of Jerusalem, ala azarot, or to sanctify the courtyards of the Beit HaMikdash b'kushat azara, ela bebet din sheshivim v'had, you need 71. So therefore you have no ra'aya that it means all the Sanhedrin. Tanya kibatid Rabbi Yosef. But we do have a braita to support Rabbi Yosef. Because what does the braita say? Metza'an abet forgive him la'alen. If let's say the Zaken Mamre found the rabbis of the Sanhedrin outside the area of their offices, Abifagi, which is within the walls of Jerusalem, but outside the Skat Gazit, Kegon. Oh, now go to the writer says, Shiyatsu limdidat egla. They went out in order to measure the egla arufa. That's an ayah right away for Rabbi Yosef that says that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, all the rabbis of the Sanhedrin were needed to measure, or leosif ala ayir v'ala azarot, or let's say to add to the to extend the walls the city of Jerusalem v'ala azarot or the azarot. Yachol te'amra to amra. Do you think that such a zakin that rebels against Sanhedrin when they're outside of their offices is his rebellion going to be a rebellion? Tamud lomar v'chamta v'alita. Which means only when he's in the place which is the Lishkat HaGazit. But what do you see? You see a bright over supporting Rabbi Yosef that according to the Ezim and Yaakov, you need not only the Melech, not only the Kohen Gadol involved in the process, but you also need the entire Sanhedrin. So because we have a three-way machloket amongst the Tanaim over here, according to the Yehuda, you need five rabbis, according to the Bishimon, three, according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you need all 71. Now, Mishnah. Nimsa tamun begal o talui be'ilan. Lo hayu orfin. We said, if let's say you found the corpse buried under rubble, tamun begal o talui o hanging, let's say from a tree, so there was no egla arufa. So comes the Gemara, le mamat nitin, let us say, our Mishnah that said from the word adama, that's written by the egla arufa, so it's mashma that it's under adama, on top of the ground, as opposed to, let's say, hidden. We must say that our Mishnah is, or let us say that our Mishnah is a biyudai, velo rabbanan. Why? Because we have a similar mahlokat regarding the laws of shekha. Shekha is, let's say, the farmer's in the field and he forgets a certain bundle of wheat, stalks of wheat on the ground, so the law is the anima able to come and take it. So it's a pasuk says, detanya we have a brayta, omer basadeh. So it says, and the owner will forget the omer, that's the measurement of wheat, let's say he forgets it in the field, basadeh. So from the fact that it says basadeh, it's mashma that the forgetting is when the wheat is on top of the surface of the field, prat le tamun, coming to exclude tamun, which means the laws of shekha do not apply to something that is covered. Devrei Rabbi Yehuda, v'achamim omrim basadeh lerabot et hatamun. That when it says basadeh, that means not only in the field itself, even what's under it, coming to include the tamun. Now, so therefore, according to this, our Mishnah must be the Biyudah, because our Mishnah comes to exclude tamun. Now, according to the Banan, just like you told me that the word basadeh means even what's under the field, what's hidden, so when it says adama by egla arufa, must be also even what is tamun. But our Mishnah comes to exclude tamun, something that's hidden. So therefore, it must be according to the Biyudah, that just like by Omer, if it is tamun, if it's hidden, if it's under something, it's patur, it's not, it doesn't have a law of shekha, so too by egla arufa, if the dead body, the corpse, is covered underneath something, so it does not have a law of egla arufa, so with the Mishnah, the Biyudah, amar avafilu tema rabbanan. You can even say that the rabbis will agree that there's no law of tamun by egla arufa. Ha'acha me'anyana dekra, hata me'anyana dekra, which means you have to learn each pasuk, whether it's the pasuk by egla arufa, or the pasuk by shekha, you have to learn it according to its context. How? By Eglaru Fadichtiv Ki Yimase Halal. Now it says in the pasuk of Eglaru Fad, you'll find a corpse. Now from that, with those words alone, Hechad the Mishtakah. No matter how you find it, which means whether you find it open in the field or you find it in a under rubble, which means from that pasuk of it, it says Ki Yimase Halal. Smashma, you find the corpse any which way. Ba'adama. So what do you need the word adama? What is the word adama coming to tell me? So must be adama prat letamun. That's what the rabbis come along and say, the adama must come to exclude something that we just included. Meaning it's coming to exclude that if it is tamun, if it is hidden. The hatam by the case of shecham and yale dekra. Ki tiksor kitzidecha besadecha v'shachata omer. When you'll be cutting the grains, let's say, from your field, and you will forget the omer in the sadeh. Now, shecha dumya dekatsir. When it talks about shecha, it says in the pasuk, that's at the time of the cutting. Ma katsir bagalu. Just like the cutting is done, what's on the surface of the field. You cut the wheat that's on the surface of the field. Af shekha bagalui. So when it says shekha, also must be only types of stalks that are on the surface of the field. Katav rahmana basadeh. So why does a pasuk come along and tell me sadeh? Lirabot at the tamun, to come and tell me not only what's on the surface like kitzir, like the cutting, but even what is tamun. So therefore, the rabbis are coming along to say that what? We could agree by agla arufa that the law of tamun does not apply. Because initially everything was included. Because initially by agla arufa ki matzeh halal, any halal. Any type of corpse, even if it's under rubble. So that's why it comes along and says ba'adama. So adama is coming to come in to exclude and tell me prat letamun. Mashe'ekan by shekha, it's coming to tell me when it says in the pasuk ki tiksor tzidecha besadeh. So I would say maybe only shekha that's similar to kitzira that's on the surface of the fields, like the cutting is on the surface of the field. So that's why when it says the word adama, or sorry, basadeh comes to include. And come and tell me, even Tamuz, even the rabbis will admit the laws of Tamun do not apply by Egla Arufa. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Yehuda Nameh, what do you mean? According to Rabbi Yehuda that says that if the wheat or the omer is Tamun, it is hidden under the ground, so it's patur from Shekha, Tipu Klem Shekha Dumya de Katsir, which means, why did you come along? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is the shita that says what? That by Omer, Rabbi Yehuda is the shita that said by Omer, v'shakachta Omer basdeh prat letamun. So that comes to exclude tamun. That what? That the laws of shecha do not apply, because it says in the field basadeh, which is mashma only on top of the field. So comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean? Tipu klem shekha dumya dekatsir, which means, why don't you learn it from the fact that it says shekha dumya dekatsir, just like the katsir is above the field, that's what you cut, so to the shekha as well, which means, what did you need? A special derasha Rabbi Yehuda, that you came along and said, from the word sadeh, that sadeh tells me it's got to be on top. Maybe you could just learn it from Shekhah Dumiyat Katsir, just like the Katsirah is on top of the field. So to the Shekhah, what did you need another Dirashah for? What was the matter with the Simichut? Yeah, you're right. That's where he does learn it from. What does the Biudah do with the word Sadeh? Which is, if you're learning the exclusion of Tamun from the fact that it has to be like Katsir, so what do you learn with the, what do you use with the word Sadeh for? That comes and tells me that even if, let's say, the farmer forgot, let's say, stalks of wheat that are attached, which is not only if he forgot, let's say, stuff that he cut, but even things that are attached, basadeh, it's still attached to the field. The pasuk says, "Not tashuv lekachto." He's not allowed to go back and take it. He has to leave it for the anim. Of Rabbanan, shechat kama minalu. How do the rabbis know this law? That shechat kama, that if you forgot, let's say, stalks attached to the ground, that you have to leave them for the anim. Nafkalim mechit tiksor kitzidecha besadecha. Then it says v'shakachta. From the fact that it says that besadecha, in your field, and you will forget. So the fact that it connects these two words together, it's mashma, even if you forget while they are still in your field, while they are still attached. Of Rabbi Yehuda, so what does Rabbi Yehuda do with that derasha of kitzidecha besadecha, that connection? Mivayelelech Rabbi Abu Amar Rabbi Elazad. Amar Rabbi Abu Amar Rabbi Elazad. Perat l'shetzafu omarin letok sedeh havero. An interesting case. That's coming to exclude the word sadecha, that what, only when the shekha is in your field. But let's say a wind came and blew some of your stalks from your field to your friend's field, and now they're lying into your friend's field. And therefore, he doesn't know that there is. He thinks that there is friends, so therefore he leaves them. But that's not shikha. Because say sadecha to teach me only when the shikha's in your field, as opposed to, let's say, so we flew, the wind blew it into somebody else's field. That's not going to be considered shikha because it is not in sadecha. But a banan that used the word sadecha to come along and say even if the wheat is in the field itself, the law of shikha applies. How do they know the law of that if it's somebody else's field, there's no law of shikha? Let's say it goes into somebody else's field. So comes the Gemara and says, which means the Torah could have just written from the fact that it said sadecha. So we come and learn that it's got to be in your field. However, which means from the word sadeh itself, I could learn it's got to, even if it's in the field, that's shikhat kama. Even if it's in the field itself, the law of shikha applies. The word sadecha, the extra chaf, teaches me only in your field as opposed to your friend's field. He's not doresh the extra chaf. And therefore, from sadeh, he learns shikhat kama, and therefore, he doesn't have a derasha for Tamun, and therefore he holds in a chenami. He learned from the semichut the fact that it said in the thing v'shakachta Omer. It says kiketzidecha. Actually, the full pasuk said kiteksor ketzidecha besadecha v'shakachta. That is dumiyat ketzid on top of the ground. So too the shecha is on top of the ground. That's the biyuda that is poter Tamun. And even the rabbis that say Tamun applies in the case of Omer, even if the Omer is covered, it applies, but they will agree by Igla Arufa that if the body is Tamun, there is no law. Comes the Gemara and has a question by David Miyat. Safui Omarim Letoch Sadehu. Now, which means, let's say you have bundles of wheat, right? The laws of Shekha. So it says like this, Safu Omarim Letoch Sadehu. But they were not touching the field. For example, let's say these stalks were lying on a rock or on a beam of some sort. Or let's say they were lying on other stalks, which means it's not mamash on the sadeh. Mao, which means there's a law of shikha applied. Now what's the she'ela? Avir sadeh ke sadeh dameh or laf ke sadeh dameh? How do you look at the airspace of a field? Is the airspace of a field like a field or not? Amar laf kana laf papiv amri laf kana laf zvid. Tifshot lehmed Rabbi Abu Amar Rabbi Al-Azhar. Amar, we can learn it from what Rabbi Al-Azhar said. Prat leshetzafu omarim letoch sadeh havero. Right, we came along and said that we have the pasuk of sadecha that comes and teaches me that there's no law of shikha if they are floating in somebody else's field. Now, from the fact that he said safu omarim, it's mash, but they're not on the friend's field mamash, but they're lying on something in the friend's field. But only because it's the friend's field. So it says the havero in, which is there's no law of shikha on somebody else's field. They talk sadehu lo, but if it's even floating on his own field, could be the law of shikha is going to apply. So the Gemara says letamech letok sadeh havero. When you're going to come and tell me that if it's in sadeh havero, only if it's floating safu in munahim lo, but if they're, let's say, sitting on the ground of his friend's field, you're going to tell me that what? That there is a law of shikha? Can't be. And it doesn't apply, which means in the friend's field, it shouldn't matter whether it was floating on a rock or it's sitting on the field itself. Bottom line, it's not your field. When it's in somebody else's field, which means the wheat blew to somebody else's field. Even if they are sitting on the field, mamash. The haideka amar safun. The reason why it said safun, they're floating in the air. De lo mashka hatla ela betsafu, which means they flew. Not that they're floating in the field, which means the wind blew to pick them up, and they flew into somebody else's field. But in a chenameh, if they're floating even in the person's field himself, could be, he'll be patur from the law of shikha. The only reason why I said safu, because that's what happens. They float and they go into somebody else's field. But in a chenameh, who had if they were munach, he'll be patur in somebody else's field. But who knows? Maybe safu in, maybe when they're floating on somebody else in the guy's field himself, maybe he'll also be patur. So you have no raya. So comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, bring your raya from a braita. Omer, she'azik bo l'holicholai. Let's say a guy took Omer. Owner, he took a certain amount of stalks in order to bring it, let's say, from his field to the city. viniho al gabe havero. So he put two stalks on top of each other. Now one measure over another measure. Ushchacho, and now he forgot. He forgot them. He forgot them in the field. So he piled them together to take them from the field to the city. That is one stalk over another stalk. And ushkacho, he forgot. So it's hatachton shika. So the bottom stalks are considered shika, which you have to leave them for the aniyim. Va'alion eno shika, but not the top. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda amir mishum Rabbi Shimon shenehem enam shika. Rabbi Shimon says both of them are not shika. Hatachton mishnehu tamun. The bottom one because it is tamun. Like we learned according to the Biyuda that tamun is by shikha, va'alion mipineshu tzaf, and the top one because it's not on the field anymore; it's floating. It's on top of another stalk. Now, ad kan lo peligi ela b'tachton, which is the whole machlok. It is by the bottom one, which means do you consider it tamun or not? About va'alion, devrei kol avei shikha. You see, according to everybody, which means in this bright over here, according to Tana Kama and Rabbi Shimon, everybody agrees that the top stalk is not considered shecha. Why? Because it is not on the ground mamash. It is on another piece of wheat. Comes the Gemara and says, no. Shani hatam kevan de'ahazik be'zachabe. No, the reason why there's no shekha in that case is not because of tzaf, not because it's floating, because over there the Baala Bayit, he picked them up, which means he got them already, he didn't forget them. So once he was zocheh, once he lifted them up, so now he forgot them after in the field, doesn't matter, the law of shekha does not apply after the Baala Bayit lifted them up. That's why there's no deen, that's why the top one is patur. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Iyacheh, my idiya al gabe havero. What did you got to give a case where you have one stalk on another stalk? Afil besadein ameh. Which is, even if one stalk that's lying on the field, once the Baal HaBayit picks it up, he's zocheh bo, so there's no deen of shekha. You don't got to give me a case because one on top of the other. Even if they're just lying in the, by itself. Ela must be the reason is because of tzaf. The Gemara says, no. Really, you're right. We could have gave a case of just one stalk lying in the field where the guy picked it up. Once he picked it up, he's patur. The reason why we picked the case of one lying on the other is what? Mishum tahton. To come and tell you the chidush of what's the status of the bottom one. Because now you have a din of tamun. So we're going to give you the machloket in Tanakama. We have machloket in that between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, we want to give you the chidush for the bottom one, that you have the machloket as well between Tana Kama and Rabbi Shimon, that the bottom one is considered tamun. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? So you tell me that the top one, the reason why it's patur, is because the owner was zochebo. But that's not the lashon of the Braita. The Braita said, v'ham mipnei shu tzafka amar. The Braita clearly gave the reason that the top one is patur because it is floating, which means it's not on the ground. Ema mipnei shehu ketzaf, which means, don't say the word saf, say it's like saf, which means once he picked it up, so therefore once it was in his hands, so it's like it's floating, which means it's not on the ground, which means he was zocheh, but not the din of saf itself. Which even though it's on the ground, we look at it as if it's in his hand, because he was zocheh. So therefore we have no ra'aya to the law that we asked originally. They have omarim that are on a rock or things like that. Does the law of shekha apply or not? We tried to bring a raya, but we were unsuccessful. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Hareni. He says, behold, I am in Pumpedita. That was a city in Babel. He said, but I am ready to answer any question from anybody that wants to ask. He said, I have clarity today. Keben Azai, like Ben Azai, who was very sharp, that was sitting giving the Rashot, Beshuke Teberia, in the marketplace of Teberia. Which is Ben Azai was very, very sharp, he had clarity, and he would answer all questions in the marketplace of Teberia. He says, today, like Ben Azai, ask any question, I will answer it. So a certain rabbi asked Abaye, Shnei Halalim, you have, let's say, two corpses, Zeh Al Gabzeh, which means they're lying on top of each other. Now, one is a little drawn, let's say, to the right, and one is a little drawn to the left. Which means if you're going to measure from the top one, he's closer to one city. And if you're going to measure from the bottom one, he's going to be closer to another city. Each one is closer to a different city. Mehechan hu modid. Which means, which city brings the Eglah Arufa from which one of the corpses the measure. Now, what's the sides of this question? Well, the bottom one might be considered Tamun, because he's covered. There's a body on top of him. And because the top one is covering him. Therefore, we know we don't bring an Eglah Arufa on Tamun. Now, we could also say that the top one is considered Saf, because it's really not on the ground. And therefore, you don't bring an Eglah Arufa on something that is Saf. Like the Mishnah said. Now, you can go the other way and say that since this is considered corpse on a corpse, so that's really considered min bimino. That is the same like items that are on top of each other. So maybe it's not considered a hefsek. And therefore, maybe it does not have a din of tamun and saf, because it's all considered one item. So it's all considered on the ground. And therefore, it's not considered covered. And it's not considered floating. Now, you can go along and say, well, maybe the min bimino will make the bottom one tamun. Patur, and maybe the first one and the top one is still considered not Saf, or maybe the opposite. Maybe the first one is considered Saf and the bottom one is not considered Tamun. There's many ways of looking at this question over here when you have two corpses on top of each other. So they asked Abaye, what is going to be the deen? And the Gemara speaks it out. Min bimino. Well, these are two like species. You have a corpse on a corpse. Have it Tamun, which means maybe I'll tell you that even though it's min bimino, the bottom one is still considered tamun. However, umin bimino lo havi tzaf, but it still makes the, which means, well, I could say the bottom one is patur because it's considered tamun. However, I'll tell you maybe the top one, bottom line, it's still tzaf, it's not on the ground. I'm sorry, lo avi tzaf. It's not going to be considered tzaf, because it's min bimino, therefore I consider the top one lying on the ground, and therefore it's going to be, you have to measure from the top one. Again, the first side is to say that maybe min bimino havi tamun. I don't care if it's two corpses, bottom line, one corpse is covering the bottom one is tamun. No egla arufa. But maybe the top one is not considered saf, because it's min bimino, and therefore it's like it's on the ground, therefore we have to measure from the top one. Umerlion modet, or go the other way. Or dilma min bimino havi tzaf. Or maybe I know min bimino is considered as if it's floating the top one. However, min bimino lo avi tamun, but I said maybe min bimino is not considered covered. Therefore, the bottom one is not considered covered. Metachton moded or dilma, or the third the sefik is what min bimino avi tamun, min bimino avi saf. Velo metachton moded, velo me'alyon moded. Maybe you don't measure not from the top and not from the bottom, because the top is saf and the bottom one is tamun. So that is basically Gemara's question. Amar le. So he comes along at Abaye and he tries to answer the question. Tanitua. We could learn this from a braita. What does it say in the braita? Our case that we had, let's say, Omer she'azik bo lilichol ha'ir. Let's say he took Omer, a measure of wheat, let's say. He picked it up, the owner, to bring it to the city. V'nicho al gabei haveron. He put one piece of, one stalk on another stalk. Ushkacho, and he forgot them there in the field. Hatachton shekha v'alyon eno shekha. So what do we say? The bottom one is considered shekha, and the top one is not considered shekha. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ben Rabbi Shimon. Sheneim ena shekha. Why? Hatachton mipnei shu tamun. The bottom one is not shekha because it is tamun and it's covered. V'alyon if there's shoots up on the top one because it's not on the ground, it's floating. Now, Savruah, so the rabbis of the Midrash try to explain this mahloket. The Hani Tanae, which means these rabbis that are the mahloket on the arm of the bottom one, is it considered tamun or not? Kirebi Udas Fida Lehu, which means could be they hold that what Damar Basadeh Prat Tamun. That they hold what? That they agree that by Shekha, tamun is Pratur, because from the word of Sadeh. Now, my lab, back in the so the mahloket must be like this. Everybody holds that tamun is Pratur. Also, what's the mahloket between Tanakama and Bishimon? Temor Sabar Min Bimi. That one shita is going to say that like species makes tamun, and therefore even though it's a wheat on a wheat, it's a stalk on a stalk, still the bottom one is considered tamun, and therefore since it's considered tamun, it's going to be patur. Umor sabar, and the other shita says lo havi tamun. No, when you cover something with a like item, that's not considered tamun, and therefore the law of shekhah applies. Therefore, Abaye comes along and says, but your question that you ask when you have two corpses on each other, really, It depends if min bimino makes the bottom one tamun or not. This is the machlok already tanakam and bishimon, that they had a similar item, two like items, two stalks, one on top of each other. So one shita says the bottom one is patur because it's tamun, and one says no, it's chayav. So it must be the machlok, and the same thing is going to be by the case of the agna arufa. When you have two corpses on top of each other, does the top corpse, even though it's like items, does it make the bottom one tamun? If it does, it's going to be patur. If it doesn't, it's going to be chayav. So therefore, you see, it's a machlok. That was Abaye's answer. Comes the Gemara and says, no, you have no raya. That's not the machloket Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, and by the case of these stalks. Which means, if they hold like the Biyuda that Tamun is Patur, I could say the Kula Alma, mean the Mino Abi Tamun. I would say everybody's going to say that Mimino is Tamun, and therefore everybody will have said what? He's going to Patur. There's no deen of shikha. Also, what's the machloket? No, the machloket over here is there a law of tamun at all by the deen of by Omer? The rabbanan, the rabbis that said what? There is a law of shikha. The rabbanan. They would like the rabbis to say that there is a law of tamun by shikha. The Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yehuda that says that tamun is patu. So therefore, you have no ra'aya. I can really tell you that that is indeed their machlok. It is the law of Tamun applied to Omer or not. So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, my idea al gabe havero, which is, where did you have to give a case of one stalk on another stalk? If you give me the regular machlok, does the law of Tamun apply to Omarim of Shekha? What did you got to give me a case of one stalk on another stalk? Give me a case where even if, let's say, It's buried under straw or stones or dirt. It also would be the same machloket. Is there tamun or not by shekha? Gemara says inech nameh. You're right. The braita could have gave the machloket in that case. Ulo diacha kohod Rabbi Yehuda de amar afilu min bimino ave tamun, which means the chidush went to give you one stalk and another stalk to give me the chidush of Rabbi Yehuda to tell me that even when one stalk is on another stalk, the bottom one is still considered tamun. Which means like this: really, I could tell you, you have no ra'aya to our discussion of is min bimino, when you have two like items, does it make it tamun or not? Because really, I could tell you that what? That if they held like the Biyuda, that says what? That says Tamun is Patur by Omer. So I would tell you, everybody's going to hold that what? That Min Bin Mino is considered Tamun. And therefore everybody would say Patur. The Mahlokan over here is that who says that Tamun is Patur at all? And if I can tell you that the Mahlokan of Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon is the same Mahlokan of the rabbis and Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, so the Gemara says, if that's the case, so give me a regular case of Tamun. Let's say the stalk is buried under earth. What, you got to give me a case of one stalk under another stalk? So teach me that even when a stalk is on a stalk, which is min bimino, still the Biyuda is going to consider it Tamun, and he's going to say it is indeed Patur. Comes the Gemara, continues, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Halal, that says in the Pasuk, that you found a halal, which is a corpse. Now when you say the word corpse, it's mashma that he got killed by a kli barzel, by a metal apparatus. Now, velo hanuk, as opposed to something that says they were strangled. Halal, from the fact that it says halal, velo meferper, as opposed to somebody that is still, let's say, quivering or shaking, which he's not dead yet. Badama velo tamun begal. Again, badama, as opposed to somebody that is buried under rubber. Nofel, he fell to the ground, velo talui beilan, as opposed to hanging from a tree. Basade velo safa panamayim. Basade in the field, as opposed to floating on water. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, bechulan imaya halal orfin. Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, whether the guy is meferper, or whether the guy is tamun underneath rubble, or the guy is hanging, or the guy is floating, so long as he was a halal, which means he got killed by a sword, I don't care where you found him. Bottom line, we go with the main word is halal, and therefore there is a glarufa. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Yehuda, Amru lo Rabbi Elazar, they told Rabbi Elazar, I atam odeshim ya hanuk mutan ba'ashpa she'en orfim, which means, don't you agree that if, let's say, he wasn't killed by a sword, let's say it was hanuk, he was choked, or let's say he was found mutan ba'ashpa, he was just lying in the, literally it means the in the garbage dump. which is just thrown on the ground. He was not killed in a with a metal utensil. She'en orfin, that you don't do aglar ufa. Why? Alma halal velo hanuk. So you derish the word halal, that teaches me that tafka that way, halal, through a metal utensil, to a sword, as opposed to, let's say, if he's strangled or something like that. Hachen amis. So it's the same thing, you should derish ba'adama. Just like you derish the word halal, you should be derish the word adama, to teach me what? Velo tamun begal. As opposed to being tamun in a under rubble, no fail, and doresh the word no fail also. Velo tamun talui beilah, not hanging from a tree. Basadeh, and doresh the word basadeh as well. Velo tzafaga be'amayin. Just like you doresh the word halal, you should be doresh the word as well. The other words of adama and no fail and sadeh comes again with Rabbi Elazar halal yeterakiti. It says the word halal a few times. And therefore, since it says it a few times, he's doresh that word dafka. The main item for Eglar Ufa, according to Rabbi Elazar, is how he died, which means with the hadith. As opposed to where you found him and all that stuff, doesn't matter. So long as he's considered halal, the law of Eglar Ufa applies. If the Mishnah concluded and said, if let's say you found the corpse next to the border or to a city that the majority is goyim, there's no Eglar Ufa. So the question is, what's the reason? Dichtiv ki yimase halal, says if you find it, prat limatsui, finding it sounds like something that is irregular, something that's not normal. You found it, you came onto it, it's not normal. Prat limatsui, excluding something that is normally found. Now in a city, let's say that's majority of Deko Chavim, you're going to find corpses. Or let's say next to the border, there's corpses over there. That's a dangerous area. So therefore that's not considered ki yimatsui, that's matsui, therefore the law of Eglar Ufa does not apply. We said in the Mishnah that you do not measure only to a city that has a betin. Debaina zikne ayir veleka, because you have to fulfill what says in the parasha zikne ayir. You need the elders of the city, which means the senedin of the city. So you can only measure to a city that has a senedin. It says en modidin. At the end of the Mishnah, it says ela le'ir. It says you only measure to a city that has a betin. And the Gemara says pshita kevan detana le'ir she'en ba betin. We just told me that what, that you don't measure to a city that does not have a betin. And ayadana de'en modin le'ir she'esh ba betin. You have to tell me the opposite, that you only measure to a city that has a betin. You told me the opposite. You said that you can't measure you don't measure to a city that doesn't have a betin. So automatically, I know that you can only measure to a city that has a betin. So therefore, the Mishnah is superfluous. Comes the Gemara and says, "Akamash Mahalan Kedetanya." Minayichim nimsas samuch leir she'en babetin. How do you know? Let's say the halal, the corpse, was found next to a city that does not have a betin. Shemanihin ota, that you leave it umudin leir she'esh babetin, that you measure it to the city that has the betin. Tamud lomar v'lakichuzik ne'ahir ahi. The fact that it says in the pasuk v'lakichuzik ne'ahir, the word the pasuk just said v'lakichuzik ne'ahir. From the fact that it says the city, the elders of the city, just could have said its elders, mikol makom, which means you bring it to the, you bring the Eglar Ufa to the closest city that has a betin, which means the closest city that has a betin. Even though let's say it's closer to one city, but that city doesn't have a betin, so that's the Hadush of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says en modedin ela le'ir, that you only measure to a city, which means even if let's say the closer city does not have a betin, doesn't matter. You measure it to the furthest city, but that is the closest city that has a betin. That's what's mekol makom. That's the closest one. That's what it teaches us as well. Says the Mishnah, nimsa mechuvan ben shte ayarot. Let's say you have the mit, this corpse that you found between two cities. It's exactly between the two cities, which means it's not closer to one of them or the other. So it says, Shetehen mevi'ot shete agalot, devre Rabbi Eliezer. So both cities have to bring an igla arufa. That's according to Rabbi Eliezer. Ve'en Yerushalayim mevi'ah igla arufa. A rule, Yerushalayim does not bring an igla arufa. The Gemara will explain. Nimsar rosho bimkom echad. Vegufo bimkom acher. Let's say you found the guy's head, the corpse, right? His head's in one place, and his body is in another place. Molichin harosh etzel aguf. So you bring the head next to the body. Devrer bi li'ezer. Rabbi Akiva Omer Haguf Etzel Harosh. He says the opposite. You bring the body next to the head. Now, we don't know what this is referring to. For what purpose? What are you moving heads? What are you moving bodies for? We'll wait for the Gemara to tell us what the purpose of this halakha is. Me'ayin hayu modidin. From which part of the body do they measure? We said they have to measure to the closest city. From what part of the body? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Metiburo. From the guy's stomach, from his navel. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mechotamo. Rabbi Akiva says from his nose. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Memakom Shenaasa Halal. From the place where he gets slain. Where is that? Mesavaro, meaning from his neck. That's where the blood comes out. When a person gets slain, usually they kill him in the neck, and that's where they measure from. So it's a three-way mahaloket. And where the measuring take place, comes the Gemara and says, "My tamad Rabbi Eliezer," which means, what's the reason of Rabbi Eliezer that said, if the body is found precisely between the two cities, so he says, both cities bring an agla arufa. Kasabar ifshar litzamtzim. Well, first of all, he holds that it is possible to measure so precisely that what? That it'll be really between two cities exactly. But she says, if Shalit Samsim is on the right column, Rashi in the Gemara, if Shalit Chavin Hamida, which means it's possible to measure so precisely, the emet madidu, and you can say that they actually measured correctly, she'enzu kiruba lezum izuklal, and you can really say that it's really exactly equidistant to the two cities. You can really say they are both karov, which means you're not going to say that one of them is close and they just made a mistake in how to measure. He says, no, it's really possible to measure so precisely that it is indeed possible to be exactly equidistant between the two cities. And when the Gemara says, when the Torah says, it says in the Torah that you bring the Agla Arufa. Who brings it? The city that is Kirova. Now Kirova is singular. But he says when it says the word Kirova, you could also understand it to mean Kirovot. Also in plural. That if there are two cities that are close, like a case of equidistant, it is also the halakha that says they will both bring. Now, look at the Rashi, the Kasavar, bottom Rashi, the Kasavar name Kirova dichtiv bikra, that which says Kirova, the closer city, afilu kirovot bemashma, which means it even means kirovot, even if there are two cities that are close, kemo ubhema rabba, which means in Sefer Yonah, it says the word behema, even though it's referring to behemot. So you see that sometimes you can use a singular language that means plurality. He says, "The anas al kadatach, iyefshar litzamsem, or the is al kadatach, iyefshar litzamsem." Because if you're going to hold that it's impossible to measure precisely, and kan kirova elahat, then really it's only closer to one city. The ananu delo yadrinan heminayu, and we don't know which one it is. Vavide lememar yaviu agla b'shutafut. We would have said that they should bring in agla arufa in partnership. The yitnu, and they should make a condition. Im shelanu kirova al kechem yekanu ilanu. The im erichem kirova. Which means, if it wasn't for the Bili Ezer that said it's possible to measure precisely, we would have said, you know what, it's really probably closer to one of the two cities, just we don't know how to measure so precisely. You know what we would have said? Let them bring a joint Egla Arufa, and let them make a condition. If it's closer to our city, then the other city will be Mekneh their Helek to that city. And therefore, it's that city bringing the Egla. And the opposite, if it's the other city that's closer, so therefore that city is bringing them, the other city will be Mekneh their Helek to them. But since the Bili Ezer said it's possible to be mitzamsim, it's actually possible to measure precisely. When they measure, they saw that it's actually equidistant. You have to assume that what? It's in between mamash two cities. And therefore what? Both cities will bring the agla arufa. It says kirova. It says the closer one singularly. It means also kerovot. Ve'en Yerushalayim v'ya agla arufa. Jerusalem does not bring an agla arufa. De'amar kera lirishta. It says in the pasuk that the city that brings it, you found it, a dead body in the land that is your inheritance. V'kasaval Yerushalayim lo nitchalekah l'shevatim. This opinion holds that Jerusalem was not given to the Shevatim as an inheritance. Only the other parts of the land of Israel was inherited to the Jewish people. So therefore, it's not given to inheritance. The law of Egla Arufa does not apply. Nimsar Rosho Bimkom. Now we learned in the Mishnah, if you found his head in one place and you found the body in another place, Mahlokah, do you bring the head to the body or the body to the head? So the Gemara says, Bemaika Mepalge. What is the Mahlokah of it? What's the purpose of this Mahlokah? What do they mean? Ili Mali Anyan Medidaka Mepalge. Maybe the discussion is, for where do you measure Do you measure from the head or do you measure from the body? Hamidiktani sefa me'ayna yumodidim mechlal deresha lam medida ka'askena. We learned already the law of measuring at the end of the Mishnah. We have a 3-year-old. So obviously this law is not talking about measuring. Measuring is not till the end of the Mishnah. So what is this ma'loket between the head and the body? Amar b'Yitzhak b'met mitzvah kana mekomo kamepalge. We have a rule that God forbid if there's a met mitzvah that's a dead body that's found on the road that there's nobody to bury it. So where do you bury it? You bury it in the spot where it was found. That's a law of met mitzvah. A met mitzvah kana mekomo. He acquires his place. V'haki kamar lekovro. The discussion over here is when you find the head in one place and the body in another place, where do you bury? Do you go after the head or do you go after the body? Kana mekomo. V'heka dinimsa rosho b'mkom echad. V'gufo b'mkom acher. Right? When you find the body in one place and the head in another place, molikina rosh etzel aguf. So the first shita says what? You bring the head to the body. And therefore, everything goes after the body. The very Bili Aizer, the Biakiva Amir Haguf Etzel Arosh. Biakiva says, no, you bring the body to the head. So it's a machloket. Now, what's the logic of this machloket? The Ma'ikem Epelge Mor Sabar Gufe Beduchte Nafil. Mor Sabar. The first rabbi holds, the Bili Aizer holds that what? When you slay a person, so the body falls where it falls, that's where he died actually. And his head rolled. So therefore the real place of death is where the body is. So therefore it goes after the body. Says, no, when you slay a person, so they chop him in his head. So the head falls where it falls. But what happens? Gufau dirahit azil. But before the body actually dies, the guy's running. And therefore his body falls somewhere else. But the place of death is where the head is. So it's a different way of looking at where the death took place. So according to this shita, the head fell where it died. But the body's still running to try to run away. There's still some inertia over there. So therefore, you take it after the head. We have a machloket. From where do they measure? So we have a 3-year machloket. Some say from the chotam, from the nose, from the nostrils. Some say from the tabur, from the actual the navel of the body, right? And some say actually from the savar, that's the place where he got slain. Comes again with my kamepage. What is the root of this machloket? Mor savar ikar chiyuta be'apeh. First you test is the main life. Where does life come from? From the breathing. Where's the breathing from? From the nose. So therefore you measure from the ikar part where the life is, and that is in the by the nose. That she says, Hilkach, ikar halal mikri. That's really where the halal, that's where the corpse, that's where a person is slain from. Halal. So you have to measure from the halal. Where's a person die from? He dies from the lack of breathing. Therefore comes from the nose. And the other test says, no, the ikar comes from the actual taboo, that's from the navel. So the Gemara says, Lema ki ani tana'e. Let us say that the machloket, whether you count from the nose or the navel, let us say it's based on the following machloket. Behechan havalad notzar, which is when a baby is born. Where is he born from? What is the first part of the body that is created? Where does life begin from? Mirosho. Well, it starts from the head. V'chein u'omer mime'e imi, from my mother's womb, ata gozi. You created me from my head. How do we know the word gozi is head? V'omer gozi nizrech. Cut your head. So you see, a gozi is actually a head. Vashniki, and throw it. So you see over here that one, according to the shita, life starts from the head, which means the chotam, from the nostrils. That's the head. Abba Shaul omer mitiburo. No, it says life begins from the navel. Then it spreads its roots up and down, which is the center of the body, is the starting point of the body. Then it sends its roots upward and downward. So now we want to say that this machloket, where life begins in the womb, is the machloket where you measure a corpse. I can even say that a basho that says life begins with the navel, adkan lo kamar basho ila l'anyan yitzirat. He was only discussing where life begins, which means where your child is created from. Dechi mitzar valad mimitzi'itim mitzar. Yeah, he's created from the center. Abal l'anyan chiyuta, but where is life sustained from? Dekul ha'alma ba'pehu. Everybody will agree that life is from the breathing, from the nostrils. Dechtiv kol ha'shin nishmat ruach hayim be'apav. Where is is ruach hayim? Where is the spirit of life? Be'apa, from his nostrils. Therefore, everybody could agree that what? That indeed you measure from the nostrils. Don't just because you have a machloka where life begins in the womb, does not necessarily say that they're going to argue when it comes to where you measure from. Rabbi Ezra Yaakov says, you measure from the neck. That's the place where he becomes a halal, which means if he's slain, we learned earlier that the only time you do egla arufa, he has to be slain with a metal instrument, right, with a head or something. That's called a halal. So where's that from the neck? Mike Tamad Abid Ezra Yaakov Kedekhiv, Latet Otak El Savere Halale Rishaim. So it says, when it says the word halal, a corpse, a slain body, and it says Savare Halale Rishaim, the neck of the halalin ishtayim, so you see that halal becomes a halal from the neck, therefore you measure from that part of the body. Baruch Adonai Olam, Amen v'Amen.